Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. Mention to you Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 130. But before we will do confession, with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, who his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 130, a song of decrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities thus far.
Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thy goodness and mercy and long-suffering patience, in the middle of this week, we may gather together in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. Lord, we beg and pray thee that as we have gathered together, that thou would gather with us. And remember all those who desired to be with us and who could not, and may be listening along. Bless them also where they are. And Lord, we ask then that thou would come with the power of thy Holy Spirit and apply thy word irresistibly to the hearts of sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee, renew hearts and give that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God. Give that true conviction of sin and lead to that place where poor and needy sinners are crying out unto thee, needing help, confessing their sin, that they cannot stand before thee, and yet that have that hope in thee, because of who thou art and what thou hast revealed in thy word, of who thou art to unworthy, wretched, polluted, guilty sinners. O Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would then in this evening richly bless thy word, that the unconverted may be converted, but also that there may be those blessings for thy dear people, for poor and needy sinners. Lord, remember those who are yet on that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction. Oh, we beg and pray thee, but by thy power, irresistible power, that thou would translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O Lord, wilt thou convict them of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that they are under thy wrath, under the curse, and that they are on that way that leadeth to eternal wrath, unless they are born again, brought to repentance and faith by thy grace in thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would awaken them, Lord, we know the truth. We've been brought up with the truth, but we can be comfortably with the truth lost. Lost on that way to eternity. Lost on that way to eternal wrath, confessing the truth, but no need. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight that thou would come mightily, irresistibly. Maybe there are even some gathered with us who had to come because of parents told them, or they had no desire, or they came only to keep their conscience quiet. Lord, thou art that almighty God that can break hearts, renew hearts. Oh, we beg thee for thy honor, for thy glory, Lord. Look upon in mercy. And remember all thy dear people. Thou knowest those poor and needy sinners crying out unto thee out of the depths, maybe feeling the abundance of their sin and iniquities and transgressions that are coming over them with billows. O Lord, we beg and pray thee, bring them to that place that also the poet was brought, that place of waiting, hoping, looking outside of self, but also that trusting in thee for the forgiveness of sins, and that in thee there is plenteous redemption for the chiefest, for the vilest of sinners. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, that tonight, by thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be food and drink, that there may be bread for the hungry, that there may be water for the thirsty. O Lord, wilt thou then give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word, but also give the blessing that spiritually deaf ears may be opened to hear thy word, thy voice, thy truth. Open spiritually blind eyes to see self, to see sin, to see how holy and just thou art, but also as thou hast also revealed thyself in thy word as a merciful and gracious God through thy dear Son. O Lord, thou knowest those who are hungry for thee, longing for reconciliation, and yet are still trying to find a way in self. Oh, bring them to an end, to that place of death, and reveal unto them that only way of salvation through him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, we beg thee then for that work of the Holy Spirit to conquer hearts, to renew hearts, but also to lead, to guide, and to declare unto and to reveal that only way of salvation. Lord, we beg thee then that tonight it may be a good hour in thy house with thy presence and with thy favor, that we may go home humbled, broken to the dust, that poor and needy sinners may experience a little comfort, a little comfort from above that they cannot give themselves, and no man can give them but thou alone. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come powerfully and richly bless thy word, that thou would be glorified, that sinners would be broken to the dust. Oh, come, Lord, and speak and do wonders for thy great name's sake and for our eternal comfort. Lord, we lay before thee the whole congregation, all the cares and the needs. Remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them, Lord. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Help them. Those with special needs. Those who are getting older. Those who also, we think of those in Bethany Care Home. Remember them. Family also from here. Care for them. Remember those who also maybe have a family member and go home to an empty house because their partner is in Bethany Home. Lord, remember them, care for them. Visit those in Bethany Home. Bless thy word there also, Lord. The old must die, and the young also, as we know, can die. Lord, prepare us all for that day that we must leave this life to stand before thee and to give an account. Oh, may we know it, that thou hast a book, that thou art recording all our sins, and that we need those sins blotted out, and that there's only one way, by that precious blood of the Lamb of God. O Lord, wilt thou then give that by grace thy dear people, thy sheep, thy lambs, that the faith that thou hast planted in their hearts may be an exercise, that they would only not only see themselves tonight through thy word, but by thy word, that they may see a little glimpse of him who is altogether lovely, of that one that is the chiefest among 10,000, that blessed Redeemer who came to this world to seek and save sinners, who came to keep the law for transgressors, who came to pay that ransom price. And because of him and through him, there is redemption for the chiefest and the vilest of sinners. O Lord, we beg thee then, come, bless thy word richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening. Cast out Satan, who would like to whisper, who would like to hinder, who would like to question even thy own word. Cast him out, Lord, and give opening and freedom to preach thy word. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Thou could righteously pass us by because of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. Lord, we have nothing to present unto thee. We can only bow our heads and beg thee, God, be merciful unto us sinners. Lord, we plead then that thou would look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, may we plead and beg all our petitions because of him, because of who he is at thy right hand. Oh, look upon us, hear us, answer us because of him, because of his righteousness, and because of his blood. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service with singing from Psalter 82, all three stanzas. Defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in thee. Since just and righteous is thy name, from trouble set me free. O Lord, in mercy hear, deliver me with speed. Be my defense and refuge near, my help in time of need. Psalter 82, all three stanzas. And the collection for tonight is for the Canadian Lord's Day Association. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, Psalm 130 is called Out of the Depths by many of the commentators. Out of the depths, a convicted, guilty sinner is led to find a pearl, a precious pearl, the pearl of redemption. Psalm 130 begins in the depths of a sinner crying unto the Lord, as we read in verse 1 and 2. And then we hear his confession of sin to the Lord in verse 3. And he's pleading for forgiveness in the Lord in verse 4. And then in verse 5 and 6, we hear his intense waiting, hoping in the Lord and in his word. And then he comes to that place of being led to that pearl of redemption in Jehovah. And the Lord shall redeem Israel from all his sins. A very experiential psalm. And now I ask already, do you know something of these experiences that we read and that we hear in this psalm? Do you know something of crying, praying, confessing, waiting, hoping in the Lord and unto the Lord? And have you been led, taught, guided, and revealed that pearl of redemption? Have you been brought to hope only in the Lord for redemption for your soul? What a work that the Almighty God needs to do in his free and sovereign grace to bring a sinner to such a place to cherish, to long, to hunger, to see, to wait, to taste also of that pearl of redemption. And by God's free and sovereign grace, sinners are brought to that place by the power of the Holy Spirit in the school of grace. They're made alive, they're convicted, they're stripped, they're led to death and self to find life, to find that pearl of redemption that is only in the Almighty God. And they pray, as the poet did in Psalm 26, verse 11, redeem me. Have you ever prayed that? Redeem me. Do you need redemption? Several weeks ago, we considered the first part of Psalm 130. And tonight, with the Lord's help, and may we beg for the application and the blessing of the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit upon his word, that sinners would be born again, and that poor sinners may be led to that pearl of redemption, that they may see it for the first time or by renewal, and that seeing they may believe, and that they may also taste something of the wonders of redemption that is in God through his precious Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to ask your attention to Psalm 130, verse 7, just the last phrase. Psalm 130, verse 7, the last phrase. And with him is plenteous redemption. So far from God's word. The theme tonight is plenteous redemption. Two thoughts, two questions. First, what does redemption mean? What does redemption mean? And do you need redemption? So that's the first. What does redemption mean? The second thought is, what does plenteous redemption mean? And do you need plenteous redemption because you have plenteous of sins? And so, plenteous redemption. What does redemption mean? The poet in Psalm 130 and the first verses, you hear many personal expressions. For example, I cried, hear my voice, my supplications, I wait for the Lord. And then by grace he comes to express that he is waiting on the Lord and that he hopes in the word of God, as we read in verse 5. And then he comes to verse 7. He exhorts others also. He exhorts others to also have that hope in the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous of redemption. This psalm is a prayer of a godly man, a recipient of God's grace. And he is confessing his sin, and at the same time, he has a steadfast trust and hope in the Almighty God. He has a hope in God, a firm hope in the Almighty Lord for redemption. He exhorts Israel to hope in whom? Hope in the Lord, hope in Jehovah, that almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah. Hope in him for what? Especially the last part, redemption. Do you need redemption? Children, do you know what redemption means? Older ones, what does redemption mean? What is redemption? Well, there's few words in the Bible that explain in a great depth what salvation is. And redemption is one of those words that explain in a depth what all is contained in salvation. So we read the word redeem in verse 8. What does that word mean? It means to buy back, to deliver from, or to pay off a great debt, to be redeemed. And it is an action done by someone to someone else. So that tells us that a sinner is a recipient because God redeems sinners. And by God redeeming sinners, sinners experience redemption that is in God through his Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you need redemption? Do you? You do, but do you know you need it? We all need it, but do you know it? And I'm not asking if you know it because you're taught you know it. I'm asking, do you know it in your heart? Do you need to be redeemed? So we hear the word redemption. And I don't think we really understand the word redemption as the Jews understood it. When they heard the word redemption, this word in the Jewish times had a very strong connotation, a strong meaning. Why? Because in that time, for example, think of the Israelites under bondage in Egypt, under those whips of the taskmasters, not able to free themselves. And then they hear the word being of redeeming, of redemption, of being freed from bondage. So in that time, and I think also the history of the world, we think of the slavery in the United States, when those slaves could hear of redemption, it had a hope, it had a power, it brought hope in their heart. So at this time, when the Bible was written, there was people in bondage. How did that happen? Also to the Jewish people. How did that happen? Well, for example, if someone borrowed some money and they couldn't pay it and they were bankrupt, then the only way they could pay that back is because they had absolutely no money. They would even sell their children so that they could work to pay the debt. Or the parents, the father or the mother, or the person himself would come bankrupt, and he himself would be brought under bondage to pay that debt. Or it also came when enemies came into the country. They would capture people. They would capture princes. They would capture kings. And they would also capture the common people and bring them back to their countries. And they were under bondage. They were slaves. Children, think of that little girl in Naaman's house. She was one of them. She was a captor in Syria. So families were separated by bondage. Think of the great need, how tragic this was. Think of the great need of redemption. Think of those that were under bondage, slavery, and then hearing a message of redemption, of being redeemed. How that must have sounded for them. How could they ever be redeemed? How? Well, there was four different methods that a slave that was in bondage could be redeemed. What were they? First was by purchasing, by paying a price. A price that was required by the master that slave could be freed. For example, a father, that child was under a master. A father could pay a certain price and his daughter could be free. So that was one way. A price had to be paid. What was another way? That was if the master himself freely, of his own will, would let that slave go back home, that he would be free. Another way, the third way, is if, for example, someone was captured and his friends would go and conquer the captor, and then those slaves, those that were under bondage, could be freed. We think of Abraham. He did that for Lot. Lot was redeemed. He was set free by Abraham. And yes, it was by the Lord's hand. And the last method was that there could be an exchange. Slaves or those in bondage could be traded. You had a slave and your family member was a slave over there, you could switch them. And so we see four ways that a slave, someone who was under bondage, could be redeemed. And now imagine being a slave in a far country. Maybe this little girl in Syria, and maybe she knew those four different ways. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe she was hoping every day. Maybe she was longing. Maybe she was even praying to that God she spoke about, that she could be redeemed. But my friend, you were also by nature a slave. Children, you're in bondage unless you have been delivered. You say, I'm a slave? Nobody captured me. No enemies came here. I'm not a slave. I'm free. I live in my home. And yet, all of us by nature are in bondage. We're all captors under the power of sin, Satan, the world. We're all in bonds. We all need to be redeemed. And normally, as we heard in these four, in the beginning, these people became under bondage by a crisis, or by becoming bankrupt, or enemies would come and capture them. But what about you and me? How did we come in such desperate need to be redeemed? How did we come under bondage? How did we come under the slavery of sin and Satan and the world? We willingly made ourselves slaves by our rebellion against God in paradise. And by all by nature, everyone, every person on this earth is born as a slave, born in bondage under sin. And each and every one has absolutely no power, no ability to free himself. And by nature, what's even worse, we're just happy. We're just comfortably being slaves under the power of Satan and sin in the world. And we can live peacefully, being in bondage in the worst horrible situation that you can live. And does the payment get less that we need to pay? No, it even gets more. Because we keep sinning, the payment becomes greater and greater and greater. And sinners are awakened to their bondage. Sinners are awakened to their great need by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And what do they find out? They have nothing to pay themselves to redeem them. And they only find out they have more and more sin. And they see and learn by the Word and the Spirit in bondage, need to be freed. You must pay. You have nothing to pay, because that Almighty just God has an absolute, certain, specific, exact ransom price that He is only satisfied with. And they learn there is absolutely no hope in self to redeem them. Is that you? Is this your experience? Or are you comfortably lost in bondage under the power of sin? Or have you been awakened? Have you begun to cry out of the depths, needing to be redeemed, needing, and seeing you have nothing to pay? Is there a Redeemer? Is there one who can take care of all four of those messages to redeem sinners? No, not those physical sinners of those four physical methods, but it's a picture of a need of sinners. Is there one who's willing? Is there one who has the power? Is there one who has a price to pay for such sinners in bondage? Who can redeem? Who has the power? Is that your question? Did you come tonight? Who can redeem me? Who can save me? Who can pay that price? I have no price. I need to be redeemed, and I have no price. Is that the question in your heart and in your soul? Or are you still comfortably lost? Poor needy sinner, you who long to be redeemed, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I may with joy proclaim to you from the word of God, there is one. There's a gospel, a precious gospel of good news for poor sinners in bondage, unable to ever redeem themselves. Who is that one, children? Who is that Redeemer? Who is he? Who is that one that Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 59 verse 20? And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that Redeemer. He is that one that can fulfill all four complete ways. No, not for those physical people in bondage, but those who are in spiritual bondage. He is the one that can pay exactly. He fulfills all those needs because a sinner needs to be redeemed in all four of those ways mentioned of those that are in bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. And he is the one who's willing. He is the one who has come, and he is the one. Listen, and now we will go through each four of those methods. And now we will explain from the word of God how Jesus Christ is that Redeemer. And listen to the meaning of redemption. What was the first method of being freed? It was by paying. It was by paying a price. And that price that needs to be repaid is exactly according to whose requirement? The Almighty, Holy, and Just God. The payment must be acceptable to God. And now may I ask you, do you have a payment for your personal redemption? You must be redeemed. He must be paid. And do you have a payment that could be acceptable to God? Or have you learned, I have no payment. It's all polluted. I need to be redeemed and I have no payment. Listen, there's a ransom price. There's a message in the word of God that Almighty Holy God can say. It's written in his word, I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom for poor sinners who have nothing absolutely to pay the price they must pay. Who paid that price? Open your Bible, please, to Colossians 1. There is a price paid by one, by the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verse 14. And here we read that only payment that is acceptable to God. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus Christ, he paid that price. He paid that ransom price that satisfied the Father. And that price was his blood. What was the second way, the second method for bondage, for one to be freed from bondage, to have redemption? That the master himself would freely let him go. Well, Satan will never, ever let those slaves under his bondage ever, ever go. He's a cruel master. Yes, he is, children, teenagers. He's a cruel master. He would like to hold on to you and lead you to death, but there's one much mightier than him. There's that free and sovereign Almighty God. There's that precious Savior. That Savior who delights in mercy. That Savior who came to seek and to save and to redeem his people. He has power. He was given all power. He was given power to give life. He was given power to redeem. He was given power to set free. John 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So poor needy sinner, are you wondering? Are you searching for a price? There's a price. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid that price. He has the power. He has the power to conquer the captor that has you captive. He's almighty. And he can say, let him go. And he has to let him go. He has the power to make free. And that word free means free from bondage. Free from bondage. The precious Savior, the Redeemer, has the power to set sinners free. So he has the price. And he's that merciful, almighty Savior, Redeemer. What was the third method? By conquering the captive. The conquering the captor. We said a little bit already. But man has no power to free himself from Satan. Dead in sins and trespasses. And no power. No power at all. Who has the power? Who has power against all devils? Against Satan? Even a legion of devils. Remember that man that was possessed with a legion of devils? What did the Lord Jesus say? And those legions left. He said one word, go. And they left. And they went into the swine. And they plunged into the water and drowned. That almighty Savior who paid the price, who has the mercy and the sovereign power to set captives free and to deliver them by his power, he also has the power over Satan. And he conquered him. Remember those Israelites in Egypt crying unto the Lord? First living comfortably in Egypt. Comfortably. And the Lord sent afflictions and they cried. And then they were in bondage and they cried unto the Almighty God. And the Lord heard them and sent deliverance. Jesus Christ, he came to this earth to conquer Satan. That mighty captor that holds sinners in his grasp. And he came to conquer him. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. So he came, and through his death, he conquered Satan. He has the power to set free, and he conquered him. And when he says, let them go, he must let them go. So, the price, he has the price. He is the merciful, almighty one. He has the power to conquer the captive, the captor, Satan. What's the last method? Remember? That exchange. Are you trying to give something to the Lord to earn redemption? Are you trying to exchange, example, your tears? And your tears could forever flow. They will never pay. They will never ever pay for your redemption. Are you trying to satisfy the Lord with your prayers, with your zeal, etc.? This? Maybe you can even give your firstborn son. Would that be in exchange for your redemption? No, the Lord is not satisfied. It's all insufficient. What a lesson to learn. All insufficient. I still need to be redeemed. That God's justice stands. The payment must be made. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to stand in that place. It's an exchange. He came for his sheep. The good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. So that his sheep could be redeemed. Set free. He gave himself on the cross. To pay that price. He willingly gave his hands. To be nailed. His feet to be nailed. And his side was pierced. He allowed his blood to flow out. He gave himself. He was the exchange. He said to his Father, send me. He willingly came. And when those came to capture him in Gethsemane, he said, take me and let these go. He was that great exchange. He was willing to become a curse for those that were cursed, as we read in Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And so do you see that in that word redemption, what a depth. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all those methods. He completely fulfilled and satisfied the requirements of his Father for redemption of his beloved people. And in these ways we see the depth, the completeness. And because he, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, poor and needy sinners who have nothing, nothing to pay the debt, nothing to pay that justice, nothing to satisfy God, nothing to free themselves, nothing to free themselves from their sin, nothing to pay, nothing to free themselves from that man that clings to them as death. He came and he paid it. And now those who are born again, repent of their sins and believe in him, come to an end in self, and who out of the depths cry unto him, and who are led to wait upon him, confessing their sin, and led to that place, that pearl of redemption and belief in him, they are completely, fully, and will be, and are redeemed. Jesus Christ paid the full price. All, every aspect of bondage for sinners to be redeemed is all in him. He redeems from the curse of the law. He redeems from sin. He redeems from all their iniquities, all their transgressions. He redeems from the well-deserved eternal punishment of sin, wrath of God eternally. He redeems from the power of Satan. He redeems and breaks the bondage of sin. And he will completely redeem them from all sin, all the assaults of Satan, and from their own flesh. Jesus Christ is that precious Redeemer. He is the pearl of great price, and he redeems poor and needy sinners who have nothing with his precious blood by his perfect obedience and his sacrifice. What a precious Redeemer for wretched sinners. Who gave him? Who gave him? Did man ask for him? No, he didn't. No man asked for him. Who gave him? God the Father, in his infinite wisdom from eternity, thought of a way that he could be just in the justifier, that through his Son, there would be an innumerable multitude of redeemed sinners around his throne. God the Father, it all flows out of the heart of his love, of his heart, of his love. Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God the Father, for such rebels, for such wicked ones, gave his Son for them to be the Redeemer, so that in him they would have redemption. May I ask you, who's your master? Who's your master, children? Under whose power are you? Are you still in bondage, teenagers? Are you still serving self, sin, the world, and Satan? What a horrible life. What an urgent situation. At any moment you could perish and die, and then soul lost, all will be lost. You must be redeemed. You must be redeemed, or you will eternally perish. Or are you like the poet? Do you understand crying out of the depths unto the Lord, begging him to hear you, wanting him to hear that your voice would not only be that you could express it, but that your cry would go into his ears, and that he would be attentive to your supplications? And do you confess, Lord, I can never stand before thee with my sin. I only answer, I must be sent away. And do you yet have that but? That but that clings to that hope that God has revealed in his word, that in him there is forgiveness for the chiefest of sinners. Do you know something of that life? That crying from the depths, confessing of your sin, that longing, that hoping, that waiting on him, that he would come for the first time, that you could see him, or that he comes again, that he visits you again. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is plenteous of redemption. Are there guilty sinners here tonight or listening along? Are you listening along and needing redemption? Have you been taught, lost in self, and you need redemption? You need another to redeem you because you can never redeem yourself. And are you listening and you're wondering, is this really a word for me? Is there hope for me? For such a one? For such a sinner? I even sold myself. In Adam I sold myself, but with all my own sin and rebellion, with my wicked life, I've just sold myself to sin. Is there really hope? Is the Lord really willing to save such a sinner that sold himself to sin and enjoyed living in sin for so many years with such a hard heart? Is the Lord really willing? We read something precious in connection to this in Isaiah 50. God spoke to those Israelites who had sold themselves with Adam, but also sold themselves. They broke the covenant. And they sold themselves to sin. How? By rejecting God. And by worshiping those idols, they sold themselves. Listen to what the Lord said to them in Isaiah 50 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, behold, for your iniquities ye have sold yourselves. Is that it? Is that it? Maybe those Israelites are listening to that message from Israel. And maybe they're wondering, is there more to the message? Is this it? And convicted sinners would say, truth, Lord, that's all I deserve. I've sold myself. I could understand if this was just a period. But no, the Lord continues. Listen, what do we read in Isaiah 50 verse 2? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Ah, sinner, listen. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 130 verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. That Almighty God, maybe you even have sold yourselves, and we all have, but he has the power. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous of redemption. He has the power, and he is willing to save sinners that only and continually and did sell themselves to be under the power of sin and Satan by the fall in paradise and by the renewal of continual sins. And now imagine being a slave in bondage and you're a prince. A prince. Well, that price would be all the higher for your redemption. The common people, the price was a little lower, but your royalty. So you had to pay a higher price. And then to expect, who could pay for me? That price is so high. Well, in the hearts of sinners, no, they're not princes. They become beggars. But by the light of the Holy Spirit, what do they see? They see they need to pay such a high price. Why? Because they begin to see not only a little sin, they'd only see their original sin, they see their actual sins. And by the Holy Spirit, they begin to see more and more and more. It's everywhere. And they cry out, a mighty stream of foul transgressions. It just keeps coming out of me. I have no price to pay. For such a payment is so high. And they seek and they ask and they hope. They hope, is it possible for me to be redeemed with such a high debt? Is this you? Is this you wondering? Is there any price for me? Well, there's a precious word, a precious adjective that is so sweet in this text. And that is what we would consider in our second thought to give hope, because in the Lord there is hope for such sinners with such a high debt. But let us first sing now from Psalter 362, stanzas 1 and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 362, stanzas 1 and 3. We heard a little something of redemption. And now our second thought, what does plenteous redemption mean? What does it mean for you? Did you hear me? What does plenteous redemption mean for you? Does it already have a sweet sound? Plenteous redemption? No, not just redemption. Plenteous redemption? The word redeem and redemption is written in the Bible in various places. But there's only one place with such an adjective before redemption. We read another place, eternal redemption. But here we read of an adjective. Well, the author of this psalm is, we don't exactly know. But it's an inspired word of God. It's God's word. God himself is proclaiming redemption with an adjective. It's a wonder that there is even redemption. Is it a wonder to you? It becomes a wonder that there is even redemption in God through his precious Son. But God adds, he inspired the poet to write an adjective. Plenteous. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. What is the purpose of adjectives? Children? Teenagers? Why? Why do we write things with an adjective? Well, an adjective gives description of other things, of people, places, or things. It's to convey a message. To convey a message with intensity. To capture your attention. For example, children, if you were to sell lemonade when it's hot and you wrote a little sign, you wouldn't just write lemonade, you would write fresh, delicious lemonade for a purpose. Why? So that anyone that comes along, they don't just read lemonade, they read fresh, delicious lemonade. It captures their attention. The Holy Spirit inspired the poet to write an adjective. Plenteous redemption. Why? Why? Well, first, what does that word plenteous mean? What does it mean in Hebrew? What does it mean? It means remarkable or out of the ordinary in degree, in magnitude, or effect. There is a degree of redemption. There's a great magnitude of redemption that no man can explain. God, the Almighty God, wants to proclaim to sinners that there is not only redemption, but plenteous redemption. Is that sweet for your soul, my friend? It becomes sweet. It becomes amazing. It becomes amazing. There is even hope. There's even redemption. But now to hear plenteous, a magnitude, an abundance, an unspeakable degree of redemption. The Lord is speaking. It's His word. The Lord is expressing that through His dear Son, there is not only redemption, but there's plenteous, there's abundance. There's a greater magnitude that you can think of, and there's a greater degree, a greater amount of redemption that the mountain of your sins are. Why? Why does He express it in such a precious way? Plenteous redemption to draw those poor, guilty, wretched sinners that tremble and wonder, is there sufficient for me? I'm such a wretch. I'm such a vile. I'm so wicked. Oh, it's a wonder there's redemption. But I'm such a sinner. I have so many sins. I have sins that I don't want anybody to know. As black as hell, maybe. But then to hear, there's plenteous, plenteous of redemption. The Lord is saying, and I say with reverence, sinner, do not fear whether there is sufficient that you can be redeemed. There's a magnitude. There's an unspeakable degree in my Son. There's an abundance. There's an abundance of redemption that exceeds over all your sins. You can be saved in me. You can be redeemed in me. You don't have to redeem yourself. I have plenteous of redemption, sinner. How is there plenteous redemption? How is there? By Jesus Christ. But why is His redemption plenteous? Why is it? How does it possess a magnitude, an abundance, an excellent, a higher degree than all the abundance of sin? How is it? It is plenteous redemption because of the greatness and the infinite price that He has paid. I have found a ransom. What's the ransom? It's the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb of God. It's the blood of Emmanuel. It's blood that has the power that satisfied the infinite justice of God. In Bible times, when a slave was brought back, a book, they had a book to record that this boy, this girl, this teenager, this man, this woman was in bondage, but the price was paid and it's recorded in a book so that it's secure that the owner could never come back and take him again captive. And now we know in the Bible there's a book. There's a book of life with the names written, but there's another book. There's a book
of God that writes all the sins of every person. What a book. Yes, children, every word you say wrong is recorded. Yes, teenagers, everything you look at that's wrong. Adults, every time you gossip, every time you use your tongue in the wrong way, and a multitude of sins, it's all written. We all have a book. What's the hope? What's the hope that that book doesn't speak on the day of judgment? There's only one thing, that that ransom price covers your book. That abundance, that plenteous redemption of Jesus Christ, that that blood is on your book, and that it said, reverently speaking, paid in full. I have paid the price. The ransom price is paid. This is my sheep. I'm the shepherd. I've paid. And by that price, their redemption is secured. And that captor, that evil, wicked Satan, can never take him back. No, never. Never, ever. He holds on to them, and he will keep them in his hands. They're graven in the palms of his hands. They can never be taken out. Oh, at times they wonder, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. But that's often because of our sin. It's not because of him. It's not his desire. No, that Redeemer, he loves his dear sheep, and he wants to know that, to feel it, and to live in it. Poor guilty beggar, crying to the Lord, confessing your sin, no hope in self, yet looking, sighing, crying, waiting, looking. Is that you? Hoping in redemption because you heard, but there is forgiveness with thee. Hoping for redemption in him. Listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 42, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. What a message. What a message for his beloved people. Did you hear it? I hope you heard it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Redemption is plenteous because of that plenteous blood, that precious blood. Luther said, one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse 1,000 world of vile, wicked sinners. My friend, what is the most precious liquid that ever dropped upon this earth? The blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that blood becomes needed. That blood becomes precious. That blood gives hope. That blood gives security, because in that blood is complete redemption, eternal redemption. Never to again to be sold into slavery. Never again to go into bondage, but to be eternally redeemed, to be forever with him. It's plenteous. Why? Because it has the power to cleanse millions of sinners for 1,000 years, and it never loses its power. It's still the same power. But also, it's plenteous because it has the power that for repeated sins. Is that you? You did a sin last week and you confessed it and you want to get rid of it. But again, this week, you had the same thought, the same desire. It came again, that wickedness. You can't get rid of it. It's plenteous of redemption for repeated sins, like Samson, that man that was so mighty but so weak in flesh. He fell again and again. But that plenteous redemption also has the power to cleanse also of willful sins, like David, that man after God's own heart, that fell willfully in sin with Bathsheba and was a murderer. Oh, in him is plenteous redemption for the chiefest of sinners. My friend, if you perish, it will never be ye, because there was not sufficiency. There is sufficiency in Jesus Christ. It's not that he hasn't paid enough. He has paid enough. And his price is infinitely satisfactory to the justice of God if a sinner goes lost. Why? Why? It's because, as we read in Hebrews, they could enter not in because of unbelief. It's because of our unbelief of that redemption that is in him. It's because of the unbelief of who that precious Savior is for a wretched sinner. We will go lost because of our own fault, because of our own sin, because of our own guilt, and we will be redeemed only by God's grace, by that full price of redemption. My friend, plenteous of redemption, is it sweet to you? Is it sweet to your soul? Plenteous? How else is it plenteous? Open your Bibles, please, to Romans 5. It's abundant because Paul writes, sin is serious, it's wicked, it offends the highest majesty in heaven. But Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 20, a beautiful verse. Romans 5, verse 20, where we read, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Are you seeing more sin in your life? You're guilty. You're a beggar, you're lost, and you read the law, and through the word, you just see more and more sin. Sin is abounding. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Is that you? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so you see a mountain of sin. Is that you? A mountain of sin. But grace abounds above and over and can cover and take it all away. Grace abounded. Why is there such grace? Because of that plenteous redemption. Because of the blood of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. That plenteous redemption blot out all sin. Original sin. Actual sin, sins of commission, sins of omission, sins against the law, sins against the gospel, against all sins. Are you seeing more sin, feeling a greater sinner? Are you feeling like you're drowning because of all your sin? Thy waves and billows goes over me, and you're sinking, and you're crying out of the depths. It's expression of all the sins. My friend, in him is plenteous of redemption, plenteous, not to pay for only some, but for all sins. We need a redemption that pays for them all, because if we only had to pay just for one, we're still lost, because we can pay for any. My friends, you must be redeemed, or you will perish, and he still invites. Yes, he invites. He invites to come. To come to him to be washed. To come to him to be cleaned. That Redeemer, listen. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. With him is plenteous redemption because of that price. Because of the price that can take away all sin. But not only sin, but also the punishment that is well deserving because of sin. Sometimes there's mass murders or serial murderers. They kill many people. They're arrested and they're brought into court, and evidence is they've killed, for example, 3 or 4 people, and the judge gives them continually consecutive life sentences, so that man or that woman, whoever he is, he will never, ever, ever come out of jail. He's forever in that place of punishment. But now you and me, how many sins do you have? You say it's innumerable? I can't count them? Exactly. There's a mountain. There's a mountain of sin, and you have not one penny to pay for any of them. And we only deserve, only just for one sin, an eternal condemnation. We deserve eternal condemnation. But in the Lord Jesus Christ is plenteous redemption to cleanse from all sin, to pay for the price, to sanctify, to make holy, and to deliver from the eternal wrath of God. Why? Because he was condemned to death, willingly giving himself to be condemned to death, and therefore there is plenteous of redemption to deliver from the eternal condemnation that you and I deserve. And he will redeem his bride. He will redeem them. He works in them in time and teaches them and leads them to himself. And they learn more or less of what? That great redemption that is in that precious Savior. And they will be redeemed and enter into that eternal joy. And because of him, our psalm, this psalm ends, 130. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Why? Because there is plenteous redemption through that blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed Redeemer, blessed people, and it will be all to the eternal glory where they will enter and cast their crowns at the feet of him, willfully, joyfully singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Blessed Redeemer, thou hast washed me in thy precious blood. Will you be there? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, what wonders of thy grace for wretched, unworthy, hell-worthy sinners. We only deserve eternal condemnation for our original sin. And we all have our own personal mountain of actual sins. Oh, may thy precious word tonight that we have considered be richly blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that dead sinners would be awakened to feel and know and see under bondage, and I must be redeemed. Oh, awaken them. Remember those who have been made alive and are looking, longing, searching. Oh, bring them to the place of an end of everything in self, and reveal thyself unto them that in thee, with thee, there is redemption. There is plenteous redemption because of that ransom price that thou hast paid. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word and for this opportunity with these few words to meditate and to consider. Blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, keep us in these coming days, and may we be given to enter into thy house again on thy day. Lord, give a word to speak. Give much prayer and bless it for thy glory and for the eternal welfare of poor needy sinners. Lord, we ask this in the forgiveness of our many sins for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 446, stanzas 3 and 4. I wait for God to hide me, my soul with longing stirred, shall hope whate'er betide me in his unfailing word. My soul waits for Jehovah with more intense desire than watchers for the morning to dawn of day aspire. Psalter 446, stanzas 3 and 4. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.